And now, an ad from Dad.
All right, save money on car insurance when you bundle home and auto with Progressive.
Can I take these off?
All right. What is this? This looks good.
Wow. That's well made.
Where did you get this? I'm talking to you, with the hair. Yeah, where did you get this? It's good stuff. That's solid. That's not veneer. That's solid stuff.
Progressive can't save you from becoming your parents, but we can save you money when you bundle home and auto. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Welcome to Real Dudes Podcast. I'm your host, Carrington. Unfortunately, none of my co-hosts could be here with me today. So once again, another interview with just yours truly. I'm here today with someone who's probably a childhood hero of mine, between me and my siblings. You may recognize his work growing up as well. He's mainly known for the music within SimCity 3000 and The Sims. Please welcome Jerry Martin. Jerry, how are you today?
Pretty good. How are you doing?
I'm not too bad. I'm on the East Coast, so it's 10 o'clock here, so my day's winding down.
Sounds good.
So, Jerry, how about would you like to basically just tell us a little bit about yourself and how maybe you got started in music and in the industry?
Well, I've been in music pretty much my whole life. I started playing guitar when I was around 10 or 11, and then I, had a band when I was in junior high school and high school, and then I went to music school and got a bachelor's degree in music composition, and then I went and got a master's degree in music, and then I worked in, well, I started in doing industrials. They called them industrials, but they were like soundtracks for corporate videos.
Okay.
And then I worked my way up into some advertising.
Very nice, very nice. Any ads you would recognize?
Well, I mean, this was years ago.
Gotcha, fair enough.
I did, some fairly big national Toyota commercials, which were not easy to get, believe me.
I can believe that.
And then I worked in that area about, the corporates and ads for about 11 years, actually. And then I joined Maxis around 1996 and worked there till about 2004.
Now, when you got your job at Maxis, were you a gamer at all? Were you aware of any of their work before then? Or was it just almost like another gig for you?
I wasn't really too much into games at that point. I was, I got the job because I was good at music and sound, not because I was good at playing games.
Fair enough. I didn't mean to interrupt you there. I just had to ask. So, you were there for about, 10 years and what happened, what was next for you? What was the next step for you after leaving Maxis?
Well, then I went back to doing freelance work, and then I worked a couple of years at Kabam in San Francisco, and then now I'm back to doing freelance work.
Very nice, very nice.
Moved out of the Bay Area up into the mountains up by Yosemite National Park.
Oh, it must be gorgeous out there.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I'm looking at a very nice sunset right now.
I'm quite jealous. I get the luxury right now looking at the night skies at the moment in a city, so I don't even get stars right now.
Yeah, that's the nice thing about being in the mountains. You get the stars and wildlife. In fact, I have a bobcat that comes around the house quite a bit.
Oh my. Is that not scary or anything like that?
Well, he's not too big, but I mean, I wouldn't want to go challenge him.
Fair enough. Fair enough. All right, getting back on track here. So as growing up and, you know, going through school and things like that, who were some of your childhood inspirations or heroes within the music business?
Well, when I was a kid, I mean, I loved the Beatles. Mm-hmm. Then I sort of, in high school, I had a really good jazz guitar teacher. And so I went into, you know, started listening to jazz. I love Miles Davis and listened to a lot of Miles Davis and Weather Report. And, you know, after that, I sort of got into Talking Heads quite a bit.
Oh, very nice. Oh, yeah, classic band.
Yeah, and then I started listening to African music at that point, around, you know, after the Talking Heads.
Okay.
And I was always sort of, actually, in when I was going to college, I was very interested in world music. So I listened to different music from, you know, India, and I got into Javanese gamelan music quite a bit. Played in a gamelan and had one of my teachers in school was Lou Harrison, who's a pretty famous composer, and he was way into gamelan, so he sort of helped me figure out how the gamelan works, and it's very interesting. It's got a very sort of stylized way that it works. It's very figured out, basically.
For those who don't know, might not know what gamelan is, could you kind of maybe explain that real quick?
Yeah, gamelan is a group. It's like an orchestra. It's an orchestra of metallophones, which are gongs, a lot of gongs, and a lot of, similar to vibes. You know what a vibes are? Vibraphone?
Yes, yes.
So similar to vibes and marimba, except they're metal, and then they have tuned gongs, and so the thing with the gamelan is the tuning is very intricate, sort of. I mean, it's what they call just intonation, which is tuned to the actual physics of the sound, as opposed to the tempered scale, which is what we're used to in the West, or, you know, pretty much everywhere now, I guess, which happened, I forget the history, but somewhere around 1800,
okay,
they switched to the tempered scale so they could play in different keys. And what that did is it kind of messes up the actual intervals, so that the intervals are not quite in tune. But the gamelan is perfectly in tune, and it's a really beautiful sound. So anyway, I got into that a little bit, and there was kind of a point in my composition where I'd try to apply what I was learning in the gamelan to anything I was writing. So I have a lot of gamelan influences in a lot of my music.
Well, very nice.
It's hard to understand, but it's more like just the rhythms and things, and the way the parts interlock and things like that.
Okay, yeah. I'll have to definitely look into it, because I'm not too familiar with the gamelan or the gamelan sound in particular.
Yeah, you know, the problem with the gamelan sound is very hard to record, so there's really not a lot of good recordings of it, because it's so percussive and so... the transients are hard to record. It is hard to understand unless you're actually sitting there playing it.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
So, were you able to use the gamelan at all in your work while working at Maxis?
Yeah, a little bit. I did a piece in, not an actual gamelan, but I did a heavily gamelan-influenced piece for SimCity 3000.
Oh, very nice. What song, if you don't mind me by asking?
Oh, shoot, I forget the name of it.
Oh, that's okay. I was just curious, because it's... If I remember right, the SimCity 3000 soundtrack, it is on Spotify, and my brother and I, we do tend to listen to it from time to time.
Yeah.
So...
Or maybe it was SimCity 4, I forget.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, I think it was SimCity 4. But, yeah, I'd have to go look it up.
Okay.
Remember the name.
Yeah, I'm not going to hassle you with that right now.
Yeah, a lot of the names of the songs from the, you know, the Maxis days, mm-hmm. they were sort of after the fact. You know, most of them were like, you know, Build 1, Build 2, Jazz 1, Jazz 2, Jazz 3, whatever. And then I'd just kind of go back and name them at the very end. And then found out also that somebody from EA renamed the actual named songs. So there's some kind of weird names out there that I didn't even come up with.
That's something I had no idea about. So there's even songs that...
Yeah, it's kind of irritating, actually, when I go to the trouble to make a title for a song, and then somebody comes in later and renames it. But
is there a particular project during your time with Maxis that would you say would be your favorite piece or favorite project that you got to work on for whatever reason, that one that sticks in your mind a bit more than the others?
Not really. I mean, I liked I liked everything that I was doing. I tried to put myself into it so that even if it was like a silly genre for The Sims or whatever, tried to make it as realistic as possible, so that was kind of the joke part of it, is to make it just over the top realistic.
Gotcha.
And that sort of added the tongue in cheek attitude, I think.
Now, you've mentioned before like your inspiration and heroes, and they seem to be, you know, a little bit of everything. When it comes to the music within those games, whether it be like the streets of SimCity or The Sims, you seem to also be able to write anything. So is that a challenge for you at all in particular?
Well, I'm pretty good at different styles. So, it's always interesting to try a genre that you're not familiar with. And what I used to do is if I had a genre that I didn't really know about, I would sort of study it a little bit and then try to figure out what it was about it that made it click.
Okay. Now, also during that time, there also seemed to be a few pieces where you maybe didn't compose. So was that a challenge, having other people compose with you at the same time on the same project?
Yeah, it's not easy, actually, to be, you know, it's basically the musical creative director directing other people to try to do what I was hoping they would do.
Mm-hmm.
I had a good friend helping me, Mark Russo, quite a bit. We were neighbors, and so we would get together and, I'd show him some ideas and send him off and try to get him to, you know, come up with some similar stuff. And he's a super musician, so a lot of the time he would come up with stuff that was just really blew me away, you know. It was really cooler than what I had thought of. But, he did more, sort of more complicated music than I would do. Mine sort of simple-minded. This is more complicated and elaborate. But for SimCity, I had to get him to kind of get him to do more the minimalistic style, which is not complicated and it's simplistic. And he actually had a little trouble on some of those, trying to be simple. But yeah, so he was kind of my right hand man, a lot of the times when I would need music, but I couldn't do it all myself.
Very nice guy. I do remember seeing that name Mark Russo coming up quite a bit when looking into different compositions around that time.
Yeah.
So, have you gotten to play those games where you do create the music for?
Yeah, I mean, I would play them when we were developing them, mainly just to see if they were working right. But that was about it. I mean, it's not like I sat around playing them afterwards.
Right, right.
But I wanted to, check it out and see how it felt with the music. Mainly it was a matter of finding the music that felt right when you're playing it. And then, like with SimCity, you know, you're sitting there for so long just tinkering around with your city and built, you know, your land and whatever.
Right.
That you kind of need a very, you know, non-obtrusive type of sound. So I went with a minimalist sound, and that worked out really good, I think, as far as, you know, the feeling of tinkering with a city and having it there for hours on end, basically.
Yeah, for sure. I can remember being a kid when that game came out, and my dad in particular passed it on to us, his children, to have appreciation for, you know, different kinds of music, and especially jazz music, and then to have that kind of different, that kind of sound while you're tinkering with the city. A lot of those tunes and songs really stick with you in a way that's almost iconic now. I mean, if I know a friend who's played SimCity 3000, if we fire up that game, or if I show them the soundtrack, they'll know immediately, oh, I love this song because it came on when I was doing this or this. And
yeah,
I think it really fits a lot with the game and with what you're doing.
Yeah. That's good to know. Well, I basically chose three genres or styles for that game. One was the minimalist tinkering type sound, and the other was more of a jazz sound to evoke the feeling of the city. And I did a couple of Gershwin-esque sort of city jazz songs to also give it a feeling of the city. And then I also have sort of an electronica sound in there too, which is sort of halfway between the tinkering and then just kind of some, I don't know, it was a little bit darker. So it was more like, you know, if you had a trashed city.
Yeah, yeah.
And you would have a little darkness there. And at one point we were trying to make an interactive score where the music was going to change feel depending on the health of your city.
Mm-hmm.
So if you had a lousy city that was, you know, in disrepair, it would have more of a dark sound. And but anyway, we were trying to do this, and we were sort of running out of time to do it correctly. So we decided to just go with the straight ahead songs, which I'm kind of glad it worked out that way too.
Oh, it definitely worked out. You know, speaking from as a player and as a fan, one game that your name is attached to me and my brother, don't think gets a lot of love or appreciation is the Streets of SimCity, because of how crazy like that soundtrack is in terms of
the music on that was turned out really nice.
Oh yeah,
I put
sure.
a lot of energy into that thing, and it was pretty awesome.
And you know, speaking of that, was it hard at all to try and come up with something for all the different kinds of music, whether it be bluegrass, jazz, rock, anything like that, because it's so diverse and it's so well done. Me and my brother love everything, like when it comes to the lyrics of the songs and everything. I really, really appreciate the work that you and everybody there did on that game and that soundtrack in particular.
Yeah, I think the problem with Sims, Streets of SimCity was that the overall game sort of got panned, and nobody, you know, liked the game itself. But I mean, I did get a, you know, fair amount of good compliments about the soundtrack. But I remember one of the fun parts was the kind of the main part of the. I guess I had it on like a jazz station, but it was more like 70s car chase jazz.
Yes, yes.
Which was, you know, with the little bongos and the, you know, big horns and kind of corny melodies. But it turned out really good. I really love some of those songs from that.
Now, there was a lot of voice work done as far as the songs were concerned. By any chance, are you singing in any of them?
No, I'm not personally. I kind of forget what that was.
I was just curious, by any chance. Now.
Oh, yeah. I guess there were some rock songs that had, mm-hmm. had vocals.
And, yeah, and then I think one of the bluegrass songs has vocals, too.
Yeah, the bluegrass song had a... Oh, actually, yeah, my boss was a musician at that time. He was the guy who brought me on into Maxis. His name is Michael Brimmer. He was the head of the creative services at Maxis. Really great guy, super smart. But he, I think he wrote the lyrics for that.
Okay.
The bluegrass one.
That, those, If I, because my brother, he actually lives next door. If I were to go grab him, he's asleep now, but if I were to go grab him and just fire off a name like Bluegrass One or something, he'll immediately just start singing the song. he really loves those songs a lot.
Yeah. Well, see, the bluegrass was cool because when you're driving around, it's so hyper. You know, it's so fast, and mm-hmm. It works really good in that context of driving around fast. So, yeah, I think it was kind of weird for a lot of people because, you know, in games at that point, there wasn't a lot of bluegrass being played. It was more, oh, you know, I'm so cool. I do this heavy rock techno stuff, and,
mm-hmm.
And to have something that was so kind of crazy and light. I think it worked out really good because it was just so, you know, counter to everything else that was going on music-wise in games.
I can wholeheartedly agree with that. So moving away from your time with Maxis, just overall, because you said you've done a lot of corporate stuff, and you even from the time you got started and even till now, how does that recording process differ from your time with Maxis, would you say?
Well, I mean, I'm not doing any corporate stuff now. That was when mm-hmm. I first got started. That was the way you started, really.
Gotcha.
Once you get into TV commercials, hopefully you don't have to look back to that area. I mean, it's basically music is music and sound is sound, and it's the same. It's really the same. It just has to do with whether you can afford to spend a lot of time on it and money on it and
mm-hmm.
how good of production you can make, really. But the basic, you know, the basic ingredients are the same.
Okay.
And I think one thing I realized is because I had just come from advertising, and in advertising at that stage, everybody wanted, you know, live instruments and live players and everything. Nobody wanted synthesized anything. And when I got into Maxis, most people were doing synthesized things, and there was a lot of games actually just used MIDI, which was general, what they call general MIDI, which is a little sound library from the computer that would supposedly sound like a, you know, guitar or a French horn or something, and they would use that instead of audio files because it saved a lot of ton of room. I mean, it's very small footprint as far as the computer program part of it, but it sounded super cheap. So then it got a real bad, sort of a bad rap in the game industry, I think, because of the super cheap sound. But I always wanted to use live instruments, and I kind of pushed for that in the stuff that I was doing. And luckily, it was right around the time where people were sort of moving on to using audio files as opposed to MIDI files. So I sort of lucked out in that area.
Oh, yeah, I would say so, because, I mean, there are some soundtracks from then that, you know, I do enjoy, but it's not easy because it, just the quality and the sound. I do agree that the live music, it sounds a lot better.
Yeah. Well, the other thing about live music is, you know, and one of my ideas, this is not original or anything, but just to get the best musicians around to play, you're getting the benefit of these virtuoso musicians that have been playing their whole lives, and they just bring so much to it compared to just, you know, trying to make it sound good on a synthesizer or whatever.
You can definitely tell that people, when they are trying to invoke certain emotions, and when it's a live musician, I feel like you can feel it a lot more deeper.
Yeah.
And you can actually almost envision it, like, say, the theme song for Streets of SimCity, for example. Like, it sounds very upbeat and happy, and you can just tell the musicians are having a good time with the song itself, and it's not just something that, like, with a synthesizer, you can't get that feeling.
Right, right. Yeah, you just can't. So, but, you know, sometimes you have to use just synthesizer in certain styles, it makes sense, but, you know, just, you know, really depends on the genre, I guess, but I'll always go for live musicians if possible.
I can agree with that statement. Now, as far as, like, we've gone over a lot of different types of music that you've made, is there a particular style you like writing in general, like, that you feel more comfortable with?
I'm pretty comfortable in different styles, but I mean, one of my favorite is the minimalist style that I used in SimCities, SimCity 3 and 4. But like I say, I've done a lot of different styles over the years, and I like them all.
Spoken like a true musician.
Yeah, I mean, music, if it's good, it's good. If it's not, you know, it doesn't matter what style it is.
I can, yeah, for sure. So I do want to talk about a project that you do have going on currently. Boom Bam Boom. Could you kind of explain that to our audience, like what that is and what that involves and where that idea came from?
Well, Boom Bam Boom is my website, which I've just kind of messing around with it. I'm not really doing much with it, but the idea was to just use it as a way to give away, you know, Sims music and different music that I've already done, but also to create a little music store eventually when I get, you know, some music to put on there. And I was planning to get together with John R. Burr, who is the piano player for the Sims Build music, which I've gotten a lot of really good feedback on. Everybody loves that, you know, the Build section of the Sims. So I wanted to get together with him and create sort of a volume two of that, because I've gotten so many, you know, requests for it, basically, and, mm-hmm. and good feedback about that style. So that was kind of hopefully one of the first things I'll be doing with that. I'm working on some jazz music that I'll hopefully put up there pretty soon. But right now it's just sort of an email sign-up page where you get some free Sims music and some manuscripts and stuff like that. And just kind of a way to keep in touch with me too.
Oh, very nice, very nice. I will have to sign up myself because I did check it out real quick the other day, and I meant to sign up. I was just I've been busy, but I will say yeah. or ask.
Well, if anybody's you know fearful of spam, mm-hmm. don't be, because I've had it up for a few years, and I think I've sent out one email the whole time. So you're not going to get spammed, believe me.
Okay, that's good to know. That is very good to know. Now, the music that you have created over the years, whether it be for corporate, freelancing, for Maxis, do you still have a lot of those? Like, do you ever go back and listen to them yourself?
Yeah, I do. You know, when I sort of, I mean, I run across it sort of by accident. Somebody will ask me about something, and I'll have to go look it up and play it, and I'll go, wow, that was pretty cool. I like that.
You surprised yourself, even.
Yeah, I'm surprised. It sounded very good, yeah. But, yeah, I don't purposely go back and listen to it all. I've, you know, heard it a bunch of times when I was writing it and producing it. So. But
good.
Actually, when you get a little perspective on it, or when time has passed on it, mm-hmm. and you go back and listen, it's most of it holds up pretty good. I mean, it's not like dated or anything, and it seems to sound really good still.
Oh yeah, like I said, me and my brother, we still listen to your music even to this day.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
You're very welcome. So this is kind of a wrap up. Question or statement rather, are there any current or future projects you like to talk about and that we can keep our eyes on the lookout for?
Well, like I say, in Boom Bam Boom, I'm planning to release a jazz album. It's mm-hmm. It's not going to be like straight ahead jazz or anything, but if you sign up, you'll get one of my tunes that I've been working on. It sounds pretty good, so I think it is done, but I'm going to, you know, master it and everything. But so I'm almost done with that, and so I plan to put that out, and that'll be about 10 songs. They're all pretty cool. And I'm working – I did some music with my wife, who's a singer from Cote d'Ivoire, Ivory Coast.
Okay.
She's a singer-songwriter from West Africa.
Oh, okay.
And she was actually kind of a big star back in her country. And so we did, I helped her produce an album a while back, and I was going to put that up there too. She's super talented, super amazing singer-songwriter. And so that'll be up there pretty soon too.
I cannot wait to hear your music as well as your wife's music. I'll keep an eye out for it for sure.
Yeah, she kind of makes me jealous. You know, I went to school and studied and all this stuff, and then she can just come up with these things just off the top of her head with no real training and no kind of understanding of what's going on. She comes up with this amazing stuff, and I just go, oh man, how did you think of that? But it's very cool.
That's certainly a natural talent that I know I don't have.
Yeah, I mean, hers is completely natural. There's no you know, she didn't study at all, and she just has this amazing gift. But yeah, so hopefully I'll get that up there pretty soon.
Awesome. And you said we can find that on Boom Bam Boom here hopefully pretty soon?
Yeah.
All right. Awesome. I'll definitely, and I'm sure our audience will be watching a close eye too on that website. Boom, bam, boom. And also, we do ask this question often. Is there any way for our audience, if they wanted to catch up with you, keep up with you, whether it be social media or a particular website, how can they find you on the internet?
The best way is on Boom Bam Boom, boombamboom.com. If you sign up, then I'll send, it has this little thing where it sends out a little freebie from The Sims. And then if you want to just send me an email, mm-hmm. on Boom Bam Boom, it'd be Jerry at boombamboom.com.
All right. That sounds awesome. So I guess I will wrap things up here. Jerry, it's been a fantastic time. Thank you for coming on the show today. It was truly an honor to speak to you. And like I said, me and my brother, you are like childhood heroes because we love music and we love your music. So I can't thank you enough for coming on the show.
All right. Well, thanks a lot. Thanks for having me.
No problem. And as always, have a rad day.
Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn. Ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn. Tell people to stay off the lawn. Compare it to your neighbor's lawn. And complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance. Which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.